I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hell Yes podcast. I am your host, Haley Gamba. How is everyone doing today? Currently recording this a week before, but when you guys hear this, it will be the week of Christmas and Hanukkah. I'm so excited for the holidays, but I feel like they came so fast. I was not expecting that. I think that the month of December always flies by for me and I lose such track of time. But nonetheless, I feel like what's so great about the holidays for me is there's not so much pressure. My family is pretty nuanced about holidays. They're not extremely traditional. Granted, we always celebrate together, but it's not like this big to-do. It's just honestly immediate family. We have Christmas breakfast. We have Christmas dinner. We exchange gifts and we just laugh and hang out and just drink. So it's going to be a pretty easygoing day for me and I'm excited for that. I also wanted to say in the beginning of this podcast that I'm going to be taking a little break. I believe I'm not going to be speaking to you guys until after the new year. So happy new year, everyone. Happy 2025. I actually just recorded yesterday a vision board video for YouTube all about how to manifest your desires and all of your dreams for the new year and how to actually achieve them and get them. So hopefully you guys can watch that and get some inspiration. I'm always excited about a new year whenever it comes. It's just a great way to have a clean slate, to get excited about new stuff, to walk into your purpose, to be able to start some new goals. And I don't know, something about new always feels good, even though it can be a little bit anxious and you can feel like, oh my God, like I don't like change. And I've always been someone who's a creature of habit and doesn't love change. Something about having a new year is like the change that I always embrace. So I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited to see what the new year holds. I feel like this upcoming year is going to be a really amazing year for me. I discussed in my vision board video that I picked my word of the year. I pick a word of the year every year. I believe in 2023, my word was reciprocity. Then this past year, it was unstoppable, which I feel like I truly lived up to that. And I'm really proud of all the things that I achieved this year. And then my word for 2025, I really sat and thought about it. And I wanted it to be something that felt very authentic and real with how everything's been going in my life. And the word I picked was harmony or harmonious. Something about that word feels so in alignment with how I'm feeling emotionally and spiritually that I was really excited to pick that word. I always pick words that I want to live up to and that I want to embody. And this particular word is more about just being like present. And it's something that I'm already practicing, but I want to implement further. I have always been someone who is getting. And I love that about myself. I've been someone who has chased my dreams for years. But now that I've really been able to be present with my dreams and to see the things that I've always wanted come into fruition and to be able to live the life that I live every day, which is a life that I have yearned for and desired for a long time, I now just want things in my life to feel harmonious. I want my personal life, my work life, my individuality, my dating life, my friendships, I want them all to feel harmonious with where I'm going and where I see myself down the line. I find that alignment is huge for me. Being someone who has a lot of duality, which I would be the first to admit that there's a lot of duality going on in my life, I want 2025 to be less about duality and more about everything in my life being something with integrity. I want it to feel like everything is connected in some way, and the connection has everything to do with the authenticity of how I present myself, with how I live, with how I dream, with what I want. And I want everything to be connected to that. I don't want things in my life anymore that don't feel harmonious with how I am in career or with how I am as an individual, because then it feels like a disconnected connection. It doesn't feel like it's meant to be there. So I want everything to feel meant to be. Essentially, that's really what the word of the year means for me this year. Speaking of harmony and thinking about all of the things that I want to embody this year and just some things that I thought about friendships. And you guys always ask me to discuss friendships further. And I'm at a point in my life where I can genuinely say that my friendships are an integral part of the woman I am. They are an integral part of my life, my growth, my transformation, for my happiness. Everything that I am has so much to do with the people that are in my life and what it shaped me to be. I am so grateful for my friends, and I've always been someone who's had friends. I'm not gonna sit here and say that I was like a girl with like major friend groups growing up, but I always had friends and I always loved having friends. But I think I can say this confidently, I've never loved having friends more than I do now. And I've also never looked at my friendships the way that I do now. There is something so beautiful about knowing that someone chooses you just as you are and wants to be a part of your life and wants to make memories with you and wants to see important chapters being completed in your life with you. They want to be beside you. They want to see it. They want to be a part of it. And that is something that I think I genuinely took advantage of for a long time. Granted, I think that we all have our moments in our life where we don't realize the magnitude or the importance of certain things because we either were just given it naturally and we never really thought that it was important, or we were going through maybe a rough time or just a time in our life where we were busy and just not really focusing on the human connections that we've built. And we just naturally took advantage of it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I was a bad friend majority of my life, but I sure as shit was not as appreciative as I am now. I really sat back with myself this week and I smiled because I am so fulfilled in my friendships. I have lost friends. I have gained friends. I have had friends where there was reconnection and reconciliation. It's really just how life is. Like, that is a part of life. I have learned that every single situation in my life has shaped me into who I am. Even if in a moment it felt like a loss or it felt like, oh my God, why did that have to happen? It just did. And sometimes you have to lose people or realize that certain people are not good for you or realign with certain people that you now realize you can appreciate now that you're an adult and you've experienced certain things. There are so many things that you learn through having friendships. And I kind of wanted to discuss today how I have found such peace and tranquility in my friendships and the foundation in which they were built on. Maybe I can guide you guys through what I discovered that can maybe help you align with a better friend circle in the new year. Now, I sat and thought about what all of my friendships have in common. Because honestly, a lot of my friends are very different. I am not friends with people based on a specific type of thing. I think that obviously there's a moral and standard that I have in place when it pertains to making friends, but my friends are individuals. They have specific lives that are tailored to them, and a lot of them have different fashion senses and different family upbringings, and they have different values when it pertains to certain things that still align with me, but them as a whole, they're not all the same. And the foundation in which a lot of my friendships were built on was understanding. When my friends and I met, we all had an underlying understanding of whom we were getting into a relationship with. And I think what is so crucial in building real friendships is realizing that this is a relationship. It's not something that you should take lightly. It's not something that you should take advantage of. It's not something that you should just be flippant about. This is a relationship. No, it's not a romantic partner. This isn't somebody that you're sleeping with or having children with, but it's somebody that you're creating memories with. It's somebody that you are building a life with. You might not be building a life in your home with them, but when you reflect back and you go, you know, over the past 10 years, these are people that you've had very important moments with. And you really need to treat your friendships as such. I think a lot of people are not great friends because they pedestalize their romantic connections and they put to the back burner a lot of their platonic connections. And as someone who, in many times in my life, did not value friendship the way that I do now, I realize now that those experiences were lessons in my own life to better show up for others. Even when I was in a long-term relationship and I was having issues with my family from time to time, I remember thinking at that time in my life, oh, F my family. If they don't want to get with it, they can get lost. I have my partner. We're Bonnie and Clyde. Boom, boom, boom. But things happen. Relationships end. Things dissipate. People change. And the lesson I had to learn in adulthood was that my family is always going to be here. My family did not ever give up on me. And granted, we didn't have a strained relationship. My thought about people as a whole has changed when I lost things. You can never be so sure. The thing that I am the most sure of is that I'm gonna always be okay no matter what. I am always going to nurture myself and I'm going to die with myself, by myself. And that is something that I have accepted, that I need to be the reason that I wake up in the morning. I need to be the reason that I work. I need to be the reason that I'm happy, and that that cannot be dependent on other people. That is something that I chose to accept in my womanhood because it makes me feel in control of my life. That being said, I can also understand that my family and my close friendships really enhance the beauty I've already created. And without them, I think things would have just been a lot harder. My life can be lived on my own. I have been able to prove that to myself in moments in my life, but I rather not. And that is something that I have been able to truly understand and grasp as I get older. When I was younger, I definitely lacked consideration and I was very self-servant. I think that that's common, especially when you're a kid. You just aren't super focused on the emotions of others. You're not someone who expresses immense empathy because, I don't know, it's just not something that you possess when you're young. When you get older, you can go one of two ways. You can be an incompetent person who sucks and hates people, or you can just be a better human and show up a little bit better for the people that you care about in your life. And that was the route that I took. The older I got, the more considerate I became, the more I cared, the more empathy I had, the less I thought about just myself. When I made decisions, I thought about how they impacted others. When I gossiped, I thought, is that something that should be spoken about right now? Is that helpful to the situation? And it took fights, losing people, losing myself, being mad at someone, having certain experiences that made me better at showing up in my friendships. Now, what I really appreciate about the underlying layer as to why my friendships work, when I think of the word understanding, I also think of the word weaponized incompetence. And when I think about that word, I always think about my dating life. Just to give a little bit of context and definition to weaponized incompetence, if you don't know exactly what it means, it's a passive-aggressive behavior where someone intentionally or unknowingly pretends to be unable to complete a task to avoid responsibility. I am so fortunate that all of my friendships are so beautiful and so flourishing and so, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I feel like I'm really gaining a lot. Like, it's very reciprocal. And although I have had wonderful dating experiences and I've met really amazing people, I've shared this with you guys a lot on this podcast. Something that I would experience from time to time in my dating life specifically was weaponized incompetence. It's when somebody is saying that they are unable to show up in a good way for me that I need in order for the relationship to be good. And that is something that I realized I was taking advantage of in my friendships. I realized that if I had just understood that people will show up for you when they want to, because they care about you, I would have saved myself a lot of heartache in other connections I've developed over the years, because none of my friendships are convenient. That is the truth. And something that I've learned about consideration is it's not like this maze that is difficult to understand. It's just inconvenient. Being considerate is inconvenient, but it's the right thing to do when you care about people. And when I think about aligned friendships, I think about consideration. I think about understanding. I think about being someone who can show up because you care. And that really came at me full force when I was sitting down and thinking about today's topic. I really have gained so much reciprocity in my friendships, and it healed something in me. And even in some connections that I've had throughout my life, where maybe I was friends with a person for a specific amount of time and the friendship is over, or I had dated someone for a specific amount of time and it's over, those particular relationships healed me in the time that I spent in them. That is something that allows me to walk through life with zero bitterness and zero resentment. Everybody that has been a part of my life has served a purpose. And for the most part, the purpose is positive. Even if the person was a negative force, it served a positive message in my life because it taught me something about myself and it taught me something about others. And that is how I really look at life. Now, when I think about aligned friendships and things that I find to be very crucial and important in really building healthy connections with women specifically, is being someone who's considerate and being someone who's capable of being vulnerable. Now, I am aware that this is a difficult thing for a lot of people. They didn't have a safe space growing up to have vulnerabilities. They feel like they're always fighting the world left and right, and that being private and mysterious is a protection that feels comfortable and easy. But when I think about aligned, God-given friendships, because I believe that my friendships were given to me by God, this is God's gift to me, I think about being vulnerable. I think about saying out loud, hey, you know, that's where I fall short, or that's where I mess up, or this is who I am because of this. And it allows you to hear someone out and for them to also hear you out as to why you are the person that you are, and they accept you anyways. I have met people over the years who become friends with people for the wrong reasons. And I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you guys and say that I have never in my life been friends with someone and not known that it wasn't truly written in the stars, not known that it was super aligned. Sometimes I get in over my head, or I maybe feel a type of way about the person in the very early stages, and then they grow on me and I'll feel like, okay, you grew on me, so maybe this is good. But no, I ended up reflecting later after the friendship ended that that was my intuition. My intuition was telling me that this person is not an aligned spirit for my life. One thing that I really want to stress the importance of when you are picking friends is to not pick friends on a surface level. This is a relationship. Why are we picking people in our lives? Because they're cute. Because they're beautiful, because they're rich, because they know someone, because they know how to flirt, because they like to go out. This is not a reason to have a friend. Now, yes, is it nice when they have some of those qualities? 100%. But I always know the kind of person you are. If you only have a specific type of friend in your life, and I can just tell how the friendship goes. You guys only care about surfacey things. It's very materialistic based, and there's just no depth to it. And sometimes that works for people. I do believe that a lot of people, they go to sleep at night and they're not upset about that. But for me, that wouldn't work for me. I would be endlessly chasing a feeling if those were the kind of friendships that I aligned with. I would feel so undervalued. I would feel so incompetent. I would feel unworthy. And I would just feel like I'm living a life that I don't want. If you want God-given friendships, you have to show up in a way where you're looking for something beneath the surface. I do not care how my friends dress. I don't care who my friends pray to, as long as they're praying to someone. I really don't care about certain things that are just non-factors. To me, what's important is morality, it's standards, it's how you choose to live your day to day, it's how you choose to spend your time, it's who you associate with. These are things that I look for. It's how you speak to yourself, it's how you speak to me, because at the end of the day, somebody could be a good person, but if they hate themselves and they speak to themselves unkindly and they speak about others unkindly, the chances of them speaking unkindly to you or about you is pretty high. And you have to have people in your life that can show up in an authentic way that highlights, hey, I'm not perfect, but I'm secure. Because secure attachment is necessary for healthy friendships. There are so many people that I know that have misunderstandings with friends, or they lose friendships over specific attachment styles because maybe one friend was too pushy or wanted to know too much or was too emotional or would jump to conclusions. For example, let's just say you become friends with someone and they're an anxious person. They have had a history of being fucked over. They don't really have good people in their life and it has made them very hard and jaded. They can be a good person, but they are an unhealed person and they have an anxious attachment. So let's just say you're taking a beat and you've had a busy work week and you didn't really check in with them that week. They would unfollow you on Instagram. They would be angry with you. They would gossip about you and they would jump to conclusions. That is what an anxious person would do. And those people are very difficult to be friends with. It's impossible. You can never satisfy them because even if you smooth it over, try to fix things in the moment, they might accept it. But then the next time something weird happens and it has to only be weird to them, the cycle continues. The cycle repeats itself and the cycle continues. So it's really crucial that you're not looking for perfection, but you're looking for someone who's secure, someone who has a little bit of personal autonomy, someone who genuinely understands the value of friendship, someone who wants that. And you always know when people are okay with just hanging out with just you. It doesn't always have to be this experience. It doesn't always have to be them going out and that you guys are able to talk about just about anything. This person is allowed to have insecurities and moments in their life where they fall short or mess up. But again, they acknowledge it. They're able to be vulnerable about it. And I find that those friendships are the easiest to nurture because you're both showing up authentically, but you still understand what's going on here. And you still are secure enough to know this friendship was built on trust, loyalty, respect, and I am trusting the process of whatever this is. Now, of course, I am not saying to completely ignore your needs. Needs should be met, but those needs need to be discussed and mentioned in the early stages of friendship. For me, I really don't have a large amount of needs in my friendships. For me, what I need is that we hang out on the occasion and that we speak from time to time. We don't need to speak every day. And I want to feel like I'm being heard when I'm speaking and vice versa. I'm going to obviously listen to you when you're speaking. And I also need to be given grace when I make a mistake. Something that I've learned in my life is that I don't like people who hold grudges. I don't like people who can't communicate when I've hurt them. And I don't like people who want to hold things over my head and then use it later. That to me is poor emotional skills. If you are someone who has emotional maturity and values our connection and our friendship, I really think it's important that we unpack this together in a healthy way. I have absolutely had arguments and disagreements with my friends over the years, and the best way to handle it is I will hear them out, I will apologize for my part in it, and we move forward. That's really that. Sometimes, yes, space is needed, and You have to be able to give each other space. So if you're saying, hey, I want some space and they can't give it to you, then that is not a secured friendship. But if they're asking for space and you can't give it, same difference. You have to be able to give people space and you have to also want space and deserve space when you want it. So for me, a lot of my issues with my friends have been resolved in the moment, but then there's certain issues that were resolved later, and that is okay. But we have to both understand that that's what needs to happen in order for the friendship to continue. And that requires emotional maturity. It requires integrity. It requires patience, and it requires respect. I have lost friendships due to their lack of emotional intelligence and maturity in certain situations, whether that was weaponizing their communication with me by not speaking to me, not letting me know what's going on. I'm now in the dark. I find that to be, again, just not respectful and not good for having a healthy friendship. So I think it's important to really notice these qualities in people. And a great way to spot it is when you are meeting these people, and let's just say you're going out and you're aligning with more people here and there, see how they live their life. See how they date. See how they speak about others. See how they take care of themselves. I do believe that how someone takes care of themselves is like the biggest form of self-respect. So that's why I really love that I've made a lot of my friends at the gym. I know that that sounds possibly surface to someone, but it's not. How someone shows up for themselves is usually how they show up for others. I really like the qualities that are embodied when you are someone who goes to the gym. Usually you have qualities of discipline. You are someone who's routine-based. You value your health and wellness, and that's someone who's not going to engage in specific vices that would have me getting the ick from them. I also really love that there's so much duality with someone who goes to the gym. Like, they're able to go to work, work out, hang out with friends. There's just a lot of balance and good qualities that to me come from someone who is a routine-based, regimented person. When I had met a lot of my best friends, the thing that I noticed about them that allowed the friendship to flourish properly, they weren't having these insane expectations of me off the bat. I think that a secure and healthy friendship is when you let things just grow with time. You're not calling this person your bestie after hanging out with them three times. You're not putting so much emphasis on what you expect because you're just gonna let them show you who they are, and in due time, that will grow your affection, love, and adoration for that person. You're going to see them show you, hey, this is how I show up in my life, this is how I'm gonna show up for you, and it allows you to then decide, okay, this is someone I can see long-term as a really good friend. So for instance, like my best friend Tiff, when her and I first met, we would just go out to dinner, chit-chat here and there, and get to know each other. We weren't putting so much emphasis on the friendship at the beginning. We weren't like expecting too much of each other. We just got to know each other. And I ended up building an immense amount of respect for her and vice versa. She really liked how I handled my life. I liked how she handled hers. And in due time, we became best friends and it just happened naturally. That is how things go. And if we applied this exact same concept in dating, we really wouldn't experience so much pushback in the dating realm either. Because I think that we put men on pedestals, or we started 100 with men and we then get upset when they disappoint us, when we should just let people show us who they are and let them grow on us. Let them show us so that we can decide. And all of my friendships were not pushed, not forced, but they were aligned. They were harmonious. They felt really perfect. And they showed up at the perfect time in my life. Like when I met these people, it was when I needed to meet them. It didn't feel like it was ill timing. It didn't feel like it was something that needed me to put a whole lot of effort into. Granted, I think that we should be putting effort into things that we care about, but it wasn't something that made me feel like it was throwing off my schedule or making me show up in a way that didn't feel authentic to me. I was able to allocate time in a healthy way for all of my friendships, whether it's a friendship that requires my physical appearance from time to time or another friendship that requires me to be on the phone. All my friendships are different. And some people prefer speaking on the phone. Some people prefer texting. Some people prefer meeting out for dinner and not really doing either of texting or calling. And I am able to show up naturally for all of those friendships the way that they need to be showed up for, because of the alignment and because of the mutual respect. I would highly suggest sitting with yourself and trying to figure out why you feel like you're attracting people who are not good in your life. And also stop regurgitating that same story. I have found that the people who always say, everyone uses me, I'm always being played, my friendships are always fake, that those people who constantly regurgitate that same story over and over again, they keep attracting those experiences over and over again. So not only could it be them that's the problem, but it's also that they are using that story to fuel their future. They are creating a narrative for themselves that they don't even want. So for me, what I have learned is, yes, I've met shitty people along the way, but I've also met great people. And let's just say I meet three really great people and one of them ends up not being that great. I still have two really great people in my life. Or let's just say I meet three really great people and two of them end up not being great, but one of them is great. That's still one additional person in your life that you didn't have before. And that is something that allows me to keep connecting well with others. If you show up for yourself in a healthy way and you speak highly of yourself and you're someone who naturally just embodies a person who has self-love and self-respect, you're gonna just attract people like that. And you're gonna attract the opposite as well, but you're gonna be able to identify it. You're gonna be able to see it. And it's up to you to create that boundary of, hey, you're not showing up well, and I don't want you in my inner circle. And I also think, as an adult woman, it's important that you give people specific titles in your life. Not everybody is your best friend. Not everybody is your sister. You can even like someone enough to be acquaintances with them, to maybe go out to dinner with them, to talk about business with them, to maybe bounce ideas off of one another, and them still not be your best friend. You don't have to have like this all or nothing mindset when it pertains to people. You can be a mature adult and say, I really like this person in my life. I just don't necessarily need them to be my everything, my go-to. They can be someone that I can have fun with. They can be someone that I enjoy. And of course, I think that certain qualities need to be present for that to continue. To even have an acquaintance means that you should like the person's character somewhat. Because if you don't, then I don't really know why you'd even want to be an acquaintance with them. But there's certain people that are maybe still growing, or maybe you don't like their partner, or they are just in an interesting time in their life. And you know that being fully a part of their life could be a little taxing on you, but you like them enough to spend some time with them, maybe go out to dinner, bounce ideas off of them, see them at the gym and say hello, whatever it is. You can still have specific tiers of friendship in your life. You get to create that. This is your life, and you get to decide who is who and what they are to you. I kind of also want to bring up the topic of reconciliation and how I've been able to realign with people from my past. So I've had, like I said, friends throughout my life that have been great, that have been not so great, whatever. And there have been friends of mine that I had when we were super young, and life just went in different directions. One of them was in the military. The other one moved away. And there wasn't this big outlandish, oh my God, I hate you kind of fight. But let's just say the person moves back or the other person is, you know, reconnecting. There is grounds for reconciliation in friendship. And I don't hold grudges, and I don't have like this very like arrogant tone to even identifying if I fell short. I am able to really objectively look at myself in most of my connections, actually in all of my connections, and see what I did wrong, what I did right, what I can improve on, whatever, because I'm not perfect. I'm not gonna be the best ever. And I have had a specific friend that I have reconnected with throughout the years that we went high school not speaking and even like early 20s not speaking, and now we're closer than ever. And that's life. And it requires forgiveness. It requires putting it behind you. It requires maturity and knowing, hey, we were kids. It's not that big of a deal. And it requires putting in the effort to make things better. And that is something that I think a lot of you guys are stumped on. I've heard from you guys in DMs, hey, I reconnected with a friend. How should I go about this? I'm still pretty hurt about X, Y, and Z. Bring it up. and then put it to rest. Don't keep this lingering thought in your life. And if you're someone who thinks that you're going to constantly circle the drain, I don't think it's a good idea to even reconnect, because clearly whatever was done is still harming you in some way. Now, I am someone who believes that time heals a lot of things. And most of the people that I was close with in my life that have never done anything super malicious or vindictive, we're good. We're fine. Life was just life at the time, and it's okay. And that is usually how I look at things. Now, if I notice a character flaw that would make someone not be a good friend, I'm not going to reconnect. But this is something that requires discernment. It requires you trusting your gut and intuition, and it requires growth. You need to grow as an individual as well and see why connections were the way they were. Were you someone who was a people pleaser in your past connections with people? Were you someone who was always the one reaching out, always the one contacting them, always the one who was the shoulder to lean on, and then when it was your turn to have that reciprocated, it never happened? You could reconcile with someone like that, but they would need to show up differently. And a lot of people, like I said, they use weaponized incompetence because people don't want to be considerate. So consideration really is the fundamental part of friendship. And I think that that is something that requires empathy. It requires someone loving other people and not having like a personality flaw that would conflict with that. And it just requires someone who finds the importance in having connection with people platonically. All of my friendships, we are all so happy whether we are with someone or not. We nurture platonic connections. People who are very romantic, connection focused, tend to not show up in the platonic connection category well because they are obsessed with finding a partner. And that's okay. That's how they want to live their life. Fine, but don't be my friend. I need someone who finds the importance in both. There's nothing wrong with wanting romantic connection, but platonic connection is just as important, and it is a relationship. So if you are thinking, oh, I am someone who wants to align with people romantically that are good people, well, look at how they treat their friends and it will tell you a lot. You have to say to yourself, is this person someone who can hold me accountable, who can love me, who can be compassionate, who can be considerate, who can be real with me? These are all things I look for in friendship. I know for me that my friendships are very aligned and God-given because all of my friends nurture parts of me that needed work, but I still needed to show up as a secure person. It's really beautiful how you can walk through life and meet people along the way who remind you of who you are or show you your blind spots in which you are either an amazing person or where you need work. And they're able to show you that and highlight that in an understanding way that still accepts you, but is showing you, is giving you that mirror. So I really think it's important that you be friends with people who have the fire and the intentionality to be a part of your life. You deserve to have someone who is chalanting about you. No more nonchalant energy. Nonchalant behavior in friendships, in relationships, whatever, is not an aligned connection. And you have to stop chasing people based off of superficial reasons or off of the fact that it's highlighting a part of your trauma. I'm really grateful that my trauma has only destroyed me romantically and not friendship-wise. I have allowed my friendships to really be built on a strong connection of understanding, respect, and just resilience, where my romantic connections over the years have definitely needed work. But we have worked on it and we are a lot better and healed. And this is something that I think just takes time, it takes energy, and it takes just knowing. So I hope that this particular episode can highlight and emphasize the things that you should be looking for in a friendship. You really want to pay attention to the things that this person embodies and encompasses as a whole. People are like mirrors. What we see in others, we see in ourselves. So if you're constantly attracting people who are shitty, it's because you either believe that that's all you deserve or you identify as a person that's shitty like that. You have to start aligning with really amazing people who make you want to be better, who make you want to show up authentically, who allow you to respect and understand yourself and really just have the empathy and the love that not only that you deserve, but that you want to give. I find that what my friendships have done for me is it has allowed me to want to give more than I receive. And that was not usually how I was living prior. And the more harmonious the connection, the more I want to just give. I hope this episode did something for your spirit. I am praying for you guys all to have aligned and beautiful friendships in the new year. You all deserve it. And just be more discerning, pray about it, get out there and start being more extroverted and meet people in spaces that you want to frequent. And be understanding, be patient, be real, be authentic, and trust in God that He is going to give you access to the best versions of yourself through others. You really get to see yourself deeper when you make connection. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you guys in the new year. Bye, everyone.
Pioneer.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.